Today's Shir Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis. Seven lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan Asar Ein Cholklam Truma Beis Agronis. There are 10 types of individuals who do not get distributed truma at the warehouse where they divide up the truma. Ve'elahin Cheres Shoyt V'Katan Tumtum V'Androgynous Ha'Eved V'Isha V'Oral. Arul is an individual who didn't have a bris milah. Vatamei, somebody who's tamei v'naisu ishi shegenis la, a kohen who married a woman whom he shouldn't have married. V'kulam meshagim l'bateihem. The knas that they got was that they don't get a portion of the truma at the goyrin, but they are allowed to eat truma, and moreover, we're allowed to send truma to their home. And as Rashi points out, we learned earlier in our Masechta that a tumtum may not eat truma. So explains Rashi that the Braisa is not going away from that halacha. The Braisa is certainly agreeing that a tumtum may not eat truma. So why are we sending him truma? Explains Rashi that we're sending it to him that his family members could eat. The halacha is that the family member is allowed to eat truma. The question also that comes up, that the Rishonim and Achronim discuss, is how are we able to give truma to a katan? A katan doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan. So the Pre-Chadosh answers that although a katan doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan, he's able to make a kinyan when there's das acheres makna. The definition of das acheres makna is that if there's an intelligent person who is transferring ownership of something to him, then the halacha is that kinyan is valid. So even though he is not able to do a kinyan on his own, because we have das acheres makna, that's why it works. The tzais has a problem with that approach, because the Tzai says that when do we say das acheres makna? He says we say das acheres makna if I own something, if I, a gadol, own something, and I want to transfer it to a katan. So that's where we apply the concept of das acheres makna. But says the Tzai, in a case like truma, where I am not really the owner of the truma, how do I say the concept of das acheres makna? So Tzais has a different approach. He says the reason Kohanim are entitled to the truma is because for what they do for the Beis HaMikdash, etc. As the Pasuk says the Tzais. The Pasuk says, Kischarhu lachem chelef avaydaschem. So says the Tzais that since he's owed the truma, even though he maybe doesn't actually do the avoida, but he's part of the Kohanim who do the avoida, that's why he's able to take ownership of something, even though he's a Kohen. So the Nesivis, of course, asked the question that we mentioned. He's not satisfied to say that the Ketanim are entitled to get the Truma because of Schiris for wages that they don't work. So the Nesivis takes a different approach. He says that when the Torah says that the Yisrael is obligated to give his truma to the Kohen, he says it doesn't mean that the Yisrael is giving something he owns to the Kohen. The truma doesn't belong to the Yisrael. The truma belongs to the Kohanim. All that Titan Lo says is that the Yisrael has the right to choose which Kohen he's going to give his truma to. So since it's not really considered completely the Yisrael's, when is there a problem, explains the Nesivis, of transferring ownership something to a katan? He says we have that problem when it belongs to one individual, and now, as we've been learning, we want to transfer the ownership to a katan. Here, it always belonged to the katan. It always belonged to the kohanim. And all the Yisrael had a right to choose was the right to choose which kohen should get it. That's not considered a regular act of selling, of transferring ownership that we have with a katan. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, we understand why we don't give at the Kairin truma to the cheres shayt of the cotton. For as we just explained, la b'nei dayaninu, that it's a, and Rashi says that it's a zilzil. It's not the proper respect to show to truma if we're going to give it to them in a, such a public fashion. The Rashba explains that Chazal were concerned when we give it to a cotton that they may not treat it with the proper respect. They may be metamit, or they may give it to people who may not eat it. But there are many Rishonim that disagree with that. And they say if that were the concern, then the halacha would be that we shouldn't even be allowed to send it to their homes. But we just learned in the Gemara that we may send it to their homes. Why are we allowed to send it to the home if they have this concern? So for that concern, Tosfos says that when we send it to their home, a cotton has an apotropos. An apotropos is an administrator, is an individual who takes responsibility for what he has, and the apotropos will make sure that the truma is treated properly. So then our question comes back. So if that's the case, that they have an apotropos, so then why can't we give it to them by the goyrin and just make sure that the apotropos will make sure that they treat it with the proper respect? To which Tosfos says, the concern is that these Kohanim may show up without their apotropos. And since they may show up without their apotropos, the concern is that they're going to, if they show without the apotropos, and like we just explained, won't treat it with the proper respect, with the proper way truma should be treated. But one thing that comes clear from Tosfos is that we can only give truma to Cheres Shayt V'Katan, even when we're sending it to their home, only in a case where they have an apotropos. So again, Bishlam Cheres Shayt V'Katan, La B'nei Deyaninu. So, Tum Tum Androgy Snami, the reason why we can't give them truma, Beria B'fnei Atzma. So as the Rishonim point out, that a Tum Tum is not a Beria B'fnei Atzma. When we discussed a Tum Tum, his area is covered. And since his area is covered, we don't know if he's a male or a female. But he's not a Beri B'fnei Atzma. But as Rashi explained, so when it says Beri B'fnei Atzma, it must be referring to the androgynous. But as Rashi says, again, it shows a disrespect to the Truma to give it to such individuals. Ve'eved Nami, we don't give it to Eved. Dilma, as we discussed in our previous year, there's a real concern. Dilma also asukim truma liyuchsin. That if it seems that we give them the truma, people are going to think that they're full-fledged kohanim. V'arvo tamei, we also understand why they're not entitled to get it by the goyrin. The halacha is bishum the meisi. They're concerned that since they have this deficiency, that they're oral tamei, that's why it's inappropriate that they should not get the truma. The nice isha shayna against law. Similarly, a kohen who married a woman whom he should have not married, mishum knasa. He deserves to be punished for doing so. And as the achrayim point out, until he divorces the woman, we want him to divorce this wife, and that's why we wait until he becomes. Until he divorces her, and then he'll be entitled to get truma again. Eli Isha, but ask the Gemara, why does a woman, my tamaloi, why wouldn't a woman not be entitled to get the truma on the base of gronus? Says the Gemara, pligabar of Rapapa of Hunabrev Yeshua. Chanam Mishim Grusha, maybe this woman got divorced, and once she's divorced, she's not entitled to truma. But people at the goyrin, at the granary, are not aware of that, and they're going to continue giving a truma. Chadamer, because the granary was typically outside of the city, and we're concerned of yichud, we're concerned that she may be alone there with a man, which of course is an issa yichud. Ask them, Ramai Benayu. So we gave two reasons why a woman shouldn't get truma at the goyrin. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the prakal nafkamina? Says Mar Ikem Enayu Beidar the Karv Lamasa, where the granary is near the city. Since it's near the city, that we're not worried that people won't know that she's divorced. It's so close to town; everybody knows what's going on. But it's still a place, the Lashchich Beinshi. It's still a place where you don't have many people. So the concern of Yichud still exists. Inami, another nafkamina, is the merachik, where the granary is far away from town. So the concern that people may not know that she's a grusha exists, but it's a place that shchich v'yinshi, that there are a lot of people there, and therefore there's no concern of yichud. The kulan, but we learned in the brisa, the kulam shaglam truma, we are allowed to send truma to the homes, chutz mitamei, except for the person who's a tamei, noyasi isha she'en ha'genes lo. Avol, oral, who the argol mishtagrinalei, my tama, why is the reason that we're allowed to send them truma? Mishum da'anis, because it was against, it's something beyond his control. And this is a raya, say the mefarshim, to machloikus rishonim, which we've quoted a number of times in our shurim. There's machloikus, Rashi, and Tosfos, who is considered the oral that may not have that is nalat truma. Rashi says that if there's an individual who's mesu achav machmas milah, that his brothers passed away during a bris, even though we don't make a bris for this individual because it's beyond his control, he's still considered an oral. Tosfos explains that such an individual who did not have a bris because health reasons prevented him from having a bris, such an individual is not considered an oral. An oral is a person who didn't have a bris for whatever reason deliberately. So says to Mefarshim, here we see that the Gemara is calling the oral an onus. So it seems like Rashi, that even though he didn't have the bris mila because of something beyond his control, he's still considered an oral. But ask the Gemara, if that's the reason, even though we won't give him truma at the Goyrin, we do send truma to him because it was beyond his control. So the same thing could be said about a Tomei. Tami nami onus. It was beyond his control. Answers the Gemara, high nafesh ensei, high low nafesh ensei. The onus, especially the way we're learning, that he's unfortunately in this situation, that his brothers died because of the bris, is much more of an onus than the individual who's an onus because and became Tomei, that was somewhat controllable. When we do, we give the woman first, and we send her home, and ask the Gemara, my comma. First we said that we don't give. And then we said that not only do we give, but we give the woman first. How do we understand this? Says the Gemara. This is what was meant to be said. When it comes to Maisa'ani, the Maisa'ani is distributed out of everybody's home. As the Pasuk says, says Rashi, so that we give to women as well. We give a woman first. If there are men and women waiting to receive Maisroni, we give the women before the men. My Tama, and what's the reason for that? Mishum Zilusa. We're concerned for the respect of women that they shouldn't have to wait over there. So as we just said, Rashi explains that the Maiser is given out of the home, not out of the Goyrin. Tosfos says that there are specific times during the year where Maiser is given. Since there are specific times when Maiser is given, it's not just haphazard, and that's why even if it's not given out of the home, the woman goes first, because it's the woman could come and get her Maiser. Amar Rava. So Rava says, after hearing this Gemara, Mereisha, have also gar vita saladina kamoi, if I had it entire between men and women, have or shilas that men and women had to pose, have a shrina tigra the gavaresha, I would first deal with the issues raised by the men. Because Amina, I would say mechai b'mitzvahs, I should show men greater respect because they're chai b'mitzvahs. However, he says, kivin d'shmana lahop, now that I heard this Gemara, that we have to be concerned of the zelusa of the women, shadina tigra the itasabresha. First, I will deal with the issues brought up by the women, my tama, because it's a zilusa that they should have to wait there. However, the Ritva makes a number of points. He says that if it's a tamat chochem that comes to the entire, certainly we always treat the Talmud Chacham with the greatest level of respect. Secondly, points out the Ritva, even though Rava just said that he's worried about the respect for the women, that only means that if there's a man and a woman standing there, so he deals with the woman's issue before he deals with the man's issue. But certainly, if he's in the middle of a dentaro, he's in the middle of an issue with a man, even though a woman now comes, he does not stop in the middle to work on the woman's case. He finishes what he's working on and then goes on to the man, goes on to the next person. This is a question, based on this question that we, the concept that we just learned of Zelusa, that we're concerned about the respect for women. What was the, there's a question that many poskim say, discuss, and that is a, if there's a stock of fund that has limited funds available, and there's they only have that much money, and there's a yosim that needs to get married, there's a man that needs to get married, he doesn't have the ability, the financial ability to get married, and there's a soima to have to get married. Who do we have to be concerned with first? So the Shulchan Aruch in Simur Resh Mem Tes Sif Tes Vav says, Gabei Tzedaka, Shiyesh Ben Mo Tzedaka, if a Gabei Tzedaka has limited Tzedaka funds, Yusir Ben Bepsulas Anias, they should marry off the Yusimus, the Besulas Anias, Shein Tzedaka G'dayla Behem. There's no greater Tzedaka than taking care of these women, these girls. But points out to Shach that that's only when we're talking about Yusimim. When we're talking about Yusimim, the halacha is that we should take care of the females before the males. However, if it's not Yusimim, there's a strong argument, says the Shach and other Paiskim, that the man who, as we learned in our Masechta, has the chi of a puravu versus the woman who does not have a chi of a puravu, a man goes first. The Mishnah Berurah certainly holds that a Yusayma comes first, but, and the Chasam Sofer says that when we're saying that the Yusayma comes before the Yasam, says that's only in a case where there's going to be funds for both of them. But if because of what we're doing, the Yosem won't be able to get married at all, he's not quite certain that the Yosem should come first. The Shas of Chuvas Torah Lishma has another interesting discussion. He says there are two people in Shul that have yard site, and they both want to have mafter. And the question is, one has, and we don't know who to give the mafter first. And one person has yahrzeit for the his father, and one has yahrzeit for his mother. It's very possible to that the person who has yahrzeit for his father takes precedent over the person who has yahrzeit for his mother, and for a number of reasons. Here, there's no concept of zelusa. There's no zelusa that there aren't people standing here that we need to be concerned that it's disrespectful that a woman should have to stand here. Moreover, a man is mechuyev in more mitzvahs than a woman. And also, while, as we discussed in previous shurim, the concept of kol Yisrael areim zeh lazeh, that all Jews are responsible one for the other. There's a strong argument to be made, the poskim discuss, that kol Yisrael areim zeh lazeh was only said by men and not by women. And if that's the case, the man who had in his lifetime, responsibility towards other Jews. So now when his yard site is being held, we should be concerned about him more than about the woman who wasn't in the category of Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Lazeh when they were in this world. Continues the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah Dilo Taruvais that we had these two individuals and they were mixed up and we don't know who is who. One is the owner, one is the Eved. They should free each other. Shichru. So the Mishnah says, if they freed each other, what will be the halacha? It seems to mean the Mishnah is teaching us, Ibayu. If they want to do so in, they could do so. Iloy bayu. Loy, they're not obligated to do so. Ask the Gemara, why is that the case? We just learned that until they free each other, we learned in the Mishnah, they can't get married. Because if he's an Eved, he can't get married to a regular Bas Yisrael. And if he's a regular Jew, he can't get married to a Shivcha. Lisa Shivcha Eni Yochel. He can't marry Shivcha, as we just explained. And Bas Chayim Eni Yochel. So why is it optional that they should free each other. They should have to free each other. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ema, indeed, the right way to learn our Mishnah is that not just that they may free each other, they're obligated to free each other. And we learned in the Mishnah when there's a Kohen and Yisrael who get confused, we give on these two individuals the Chumras of Kohanim and the Chumras of Yisraelim. Says the Gemara Lamai Hilchasa. What does that mean? Amra Papa, Mincha. The halacha is that when a Yisrael brings a carbon mincha, the kmitza is removed and the kmitza is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest of the carbon mincha is eaten by the Kohanim. But the mincha that a Kohen brings, there's no kmitza. Rather, the Torah Agadosha says regarding the mincha of a Kohen, the mincha's Kohen kolol tia loy soichel. So if one of these individuals who were not sure if he's a Kohen or Yisrael brings a Kohen mincha, first we have to take off the kmitza because maybe he's a Yisrael. But the shrayim are not eaten because maybe he's a Kohen. Ha-ketzad, rather, what should we do? Ha-koymitz kara ba'atzmai. First, we burn the koymitz by itself. The shrayim are burned ba'atzmai by themselves. But ask the Gemara, why is this considered a good solution? Ikri Khan, the pasuk says, "Kis kol savar v'chol devash lo sektirim ani ish l'Hashem." And the Chazal explained that pasuk, "Kol shemenu l'ishim harei b'bal taktiru." If the part of the carbon which was supposed to be burnt is burnt, the rest of the carbon b'bal taktiru may not be burnt. So if this person is a Yisrael, and if he's a Yisrael, then you're not allowed to bring the kaimitz is burnt, and you're not allowed to burn the shirayim. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda Bereid of Shimon Pazi, what they do is the makriv l'shem eitzim. They put up the shirayim, and they make the following condition, the tanai. If they say, if this is the mincha of Yisrael, so I'm not burning it because we're supposed to burn it, because actually we're not allowed to burn, as we just learned, the shrayim. It should be used as eitzim, as fuel for the mizbeach. And if it's the carbon of a kayin, so it's being burnt as the carbon of a mincha of a kayin is supposed to be burnt. Rebbe Elazar, and says the Gemara, this follows what Rebbe Elazar taught us, the Tanya. Rebbe Elazar Oimer, if we have a situation where the Avram of a carbon chantus got mixed up with the Avram of a carbon oilam, so now we should have a problem. The Avri chantus should not be burnt. The part of the carbon chantus, the carbon oil is completely put on the mizbeach. The carbon chantus, the part that was supposed to be put on the mizbeach, was already put on the mizbeach. So if these are avery chantus, they should not be put on the mizbeach. What do we do? So Rabbi Elazar says, we put all of these avrim on the mizbeach, and we make the same condition. Whatever belongs on the mizbeach, fantastic. And whatever doesn't belong on the Mizbeach should be used as firewood. Because he says that you can't use it for burning as a carbon, because it's not a part of a carbon that requires burning. I could burn it to use as fuel. So according to Rebbe Elazar, we have a great solution to this issue. But ask the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar, who accepts the solution. But ask the Gemara Lerbanan that don't accept that solution. And they hold that when there's a mix-up of the Avri Chattis and the Avri Oila, the halach is that everything should be taken out to be burnt. What, Michael Amemer, what are we going to do with the Karban Mincha? Says the Gemara, what they're going to suggest that we should do is the Avalak Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. The Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Omer, the halach is that if a Minchas Chayta of a Kayin is not like any other mincha that a Kohen brings. Rather, we take off kmitza, and like we do by the mincha of Yisrael, and then the second part is put on the mizbeach. Ha-koymitz karv l'atzman. In such a case, the koymitz is burnt on the mizbeach. V'shirayim espazrim al-beis ha-deshin. The place where every morning they had the trumas ha-deshin, they took off the first thing every morning, the beis ha-migdash, the ash from the Mizbeach, and they put it on the side of the Mizbeach. It's called the Beis Hadeshen. That's the same place where they would put these ashes. Here too, that's what's going to do with this shirayim of the Michas Chayt of a Kohen. But Fila Rabbanon that say that that is not the halacha by Michas Kaiten. And rather, their opinion is that it's entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. That they say that the entire mincha should be burnt on the Mizbeach. Because the Bas HaKrovihi, because they hold that that entire Karban Mincha should be burnt on the Mizbeach, like every Karban Mincha offered by a Kohen. Aval Hocha, in this case, where we don't know what to do, I feel Rabbanan Moida, that putting what we don't need on the base addition is a legitimate solution. Says the Mishnah Mishloi Shasach Abal Shloisha Chadoshim. As we learned earlier in our Masech, the more than once, the halacha is that if a woman's marriage, when a woman ends her marriage, she should not get when a woman's marriage is ended, she should not get remarried for 3 months. Because if she's pregnant, like that, we'll know for sure who is the father of the child. But here we have a case, says our Mishnah. Mishloi Shasa Achabal Shloish Chadoshim. She didn't wait these 3 months. And this is for Yolda. And she had a baby after 7th month. Ben Yadua. And now we have a question. In Ben Tishla Rishon, is this the child that was born to 9 months to the first husband? Or in Ben Shivala Achron, or she's the child from the second husband that was born to 7 months. So now we don't know who is the father of this child. Hayla Bonim, Minarishan and Bonim Minashani. And she had children who are definitely from her first husband, and she has children who are definitely from her second husband. And now this child, this individual, who we don't know who his father is, dies without children. So his wife has chalitza v'lo yibam. Is a candidate only for chalitza, not for yibam. Because maybe we don't know who is the father. And as we've discussed many times in our Masechta, the chiyuv of yibam is only on paternal brothers. On maternal brothers, not only is there no chiyuv yibam chalitza by maternal brothers, but it's actually much more than that. The halacha teaches us that by maternal brothers, the Isser Eishes Ach remains. And since we're not sure what to do here, we can't let to have Yibam, because maybe he's marrying Eishes Ach Menein. On the other hand, maybe she is his Yavama. And that's why the Mishnah says, Cholzen V'loi Miyabin. Ken Hu Cholz V'loi Miyabin. Let's say one of the sons of the woman from this woman dies, and we don't know if this person that died was this child who we don't know his true identity, a brother from the father or a brother from the mother. Because we don't know what to do here, we can't let him do Yibam, because he may be ending up marrying his sister-in-law Menaim, which is, as we just said, a very serious Aveira. He could only do Chalitza. Ha'ilai Achim and Arishim, Ben Achim, if from the first husband, there were brothers from the same father, and the second husband had children also not from this wife, who chayot miyabim, the heim echad chayot v'echem miyabim. So what we have here is like this: the brothers from the father, when he dies. So the brothers from the father, since we don't know who his father is, and they're certainly not his maternal brothers, they could do either chalitza or yibam, because they're certainly not an eishes ach menaim. The only question is it eishes ach mena av or nothing? And therefore, they could do it. And if the heim, if they die, meis echad chalitz v'echem yabim. Says the Mishnah, hay echad yisrael v'echad koyim. Again, where we had this woman who didn't wait, and we don't know who the father of her child is, and one of the husbands she had was Yisrael, and one of the husbands she had was a Kohen. Nice Yisrael a Kohen. The only woman he can marry is a woman that a Kohen can marry, because there's a question that he maybe is a Kohen. Again, because he's maybe a Kohen, he can never become Tomei to a Mace. Vimnitma, but on the other hand, if he does become Tomei, he doesn't get Malkus. Because as we discussed in our previous year, we only could give Malkus when it says Hasras Vadai, when we know for sure that he did an Aveira. Here, we're not certain that he did an Aveira, because we're not certain that he's a Kayin. So the Asra that we give him before he does the Avera is only an Asra Safik, and he doesn't get Malkus for that. Ein Oich B'Truma, he's not allowed to eat Truma because he's maybe not a Kayin. The Machel, on the other hand, Ein a Misham Keren V'Chaymish, he doesn't have to pay a Keren V'Chaymish because maybe he is a Kayin. Ve'en a Chaylik L'Gerim, Gairin, he's not, doesn't get Truma on the Gairin because he's maybe Yisrael, who's not entitled. But when he has tvua and he separates the truma, he doesn't have to give it to another kohen because maybe he himself is a kohen. On the other hand, he may not eat it because maybe he's a Yisrael. So what he does is he sells it and he keeps the value. He doesn't get a share of the skin of the kachem kachem because maybe he's not a kohen. Very nice and nice a kachem. He doesn't get a shear of kachim. If a bechor is born, he doesn't have to give the bechor to a kayin, because he could say, I'm a kayin. Similarly, every time an animal is slaughtered, we have to give matnas kahuna, zroi l'chaim v'keva. He can make a statement that I am a kayin, and therefore he's patam and zroi l'chaim v'keva. So when he has a bechor, the halacha is, he should hold on to it until it becomes balmum. And once the bechor becomes a balmum, then he could eat it because the halach is a bechor that becomes a balmum may be eaten by Yisrael. And the Aruch HaNes says that there is no issue about ta'achar, because aren't you supposed to give something you're supposed to give immediately? And here he's holding on to it. So says the Aruch HaNes Chiddush that there is no din about ta'achar by Yorshim. V'noisnoi, as we just said, Chumrei Kohanim, V'chumrei Yisrael, we give him all of the Chumris of both. Hayushneim, what happens if both the first husband and the second husband were certainly Kohanim? We just don't know who his father is, but he is certainly a Kohen. Hu Ainin Aleihem. So when both of these die, when either one of them die, he should act like an Ainin. The Loch is an Ainin, is doesn't eat kachim. So when either of these two men die, the halacha is he has to act as an oinen. And apparently the achronim say there's a difference between hilchas aninus and hilchas avelus. We have to be machmer with hilchas aninus because aninus is the raisa, but avelus, the halachas of avelus are only midrabanan. And since we're not sure who his father is. We could be maker with a suffix to a bottom of kula. V'heim oinim alav. When he dies, both of these men have to be oinim him because neither of them knows who is truly the father. Hu oinim atamim lehem. But he can't become tummy to them because a kohen can only become tummy to an individual who's certainly his father. This is not somebody who's certainly his father. And similarly, v'heim oinim atamim loy for the same reason. Hu oinim yarish ayisoy. He can't Yashin them, because each one of these people have other sons. So when he comes to the brothers, the other sons, they say, you don't deserve a share amongst us. We are certainly Yashin. And you, we don't know. Hamaitz mechaveroi olivaraya. If you want to get a share here, you have to be able to definitively prove that you're Yirish. And if you cannot definitively prove that you're Yirish, you don't deserve anything. The haim. But let's say he dies, and the halach is if somebody dies and he didn't have anybody else, his father yarshins him. But we don't know who is the father. So who the halach is that these two men will take whatever estate he had, whatever assets he had, and divide it amongst themselves. Upata makasai, the halach is that if his son, chas v'shalom, hits a father, a very serious aveira, here he doesn't get punished, because we don't know who his father is. Similarly, the serious issur to curse a father, but he doesn't know who his father is. He could do the avodah with the mishmar, as again, we're speaking about this individual, who we know is a kohen. We just don't know who his father is. And if the two fathers are from two different mishmaris, so he could say to each mishmar, I want to do the avodah with you. That is legitimate. However, he doesn't get a share because they could say, you don't deserve a share with us. You really don't belong here. But if he's from, if they're both from the same mishmer, so no matter what, he belongs in that mishmer, noita chelik echad, he deserves to get a portion. So we learned in the Mishnah that if this individual was a Sofik, and he has brothers from the mother's first husband and brothers from the mother's second husband, they're brothers that are paternal brothers but not maternal brothers, and these people die without children, the halacha is one should do chalitza, one yibam. Dafka melech letzchad yibam. We should do chalitza then yibam. Avol yibum v'reish aloi. But we should not allow him to do, because as we said, if it's his sister-in-law, fantastic. And if it's not a sister-in-law, then he's not related. But it has to be first the other individual should do chalitza, and then yibam, because if the chalitza, yibam will be done first, maybe she's still a yivam l'shuk. Amishmul, asar kahanim oimdim. We have 10 kahanim. Or pirish echemem, and one of those 10 kahanim separated himself from the group, or bal, and had relations with a single woman, havlat shtuki. That child has a status of a shtuki, because we don't know who is his father. My shtuki, asked the Gemara, what was meant with that? Ilema, shemishtakin oisim nechsei aviv, we don't let him get a share of any of these men's estate. Pshita, of course he doesn't deserve a share. Mi adin and avu manu, we don't even know who his father is. Says the Gemara, what it means is we don't let him do the avoid as a kohen. My tama, why? He's certainly a kohen. His father's a kohen. We just don't know who his father is. Answers the Gemara. The pasuk says regarding the kohanim. You have to have that to be considered a proper kohen, to be able to do the avodah, you have to have an individual who clearly knows who his father is. And that, leka, is not the case here. Masler, papa el ma'ato, if that's the case, the pasuk says by Avram Avinu, Gav Avram deksiv, liyos l'chol elekim, l'zarach achrecha. Hosam, my kamazar l'achrecha. What is the Torah telling Avram Avinu? What is, there's no kohanim that we have, the issue that we just discussed, what did the Torah mean with the words Lazach Racha Achrecha that is stated by Avram Avinu? Says the Gemara, Hakamle. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avram Avinu, like tints of Avedes Kacham Shivcha, don't marry an Avedes Kacham or Shivcha, because we're concerned the Leilezel Zarach Basra, that your children will follow her. So if that's the case, ask the Mashah, that Avram Avinu was warned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to marry such a woman, how did Avram Avinu marry Hagar? Hagar was a Shivcha. So Mashiach answers that when Sarah offered Hagar to Avram Avinu, when she offered her as a wife to Avram Avinu, what was included in that was that she's no longer a Shivcha. And since she's no longer a Shivcha, then, therefore, he can marry her. The issue that we just mentioned is no longer there. But then there's another problem that the Das HaKohanim Baal HaTosfos asks. We learned so many times in our Masechta that one is not allowed to marry a mitzris. And Hagar was a mitzris. So how could he have married Hagar? Answers the Das HaKohanim that Avram Avinu was in the status of a ger. And the halacha is that a ger is allowed to marry a mitzris. The Mashah has a different teretz. He says that Avram Avinu, until he had the bris milah, did not keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So the issue of him marrying a shivcha, the issue of him marrying of a mitzris, did not yet apply. Meisvei asked the Gemara, halach is, if somebody is miyabim, his brother's wife, within 3 months of his brother's death, and now she has the baby, and we're not sure who is the father, the halach is, rishon, this child, royously kohen gadol, could be a kohen gadol. But the question is, why are we paskening that it could be a kohen gadol? He doesn't know for certain who his father is. Verbinen, haven't we just learned that you have to have a Zara Miyuchas Achrav? A Kohen can only do the Avoida if he knows who his father is. And here that's Leka. Answers the Gemara. Zara Miyuchas Achrav the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, this halacha of Zara Miyuchas Achrav is the Rabbanan. V'kra asmacht balma. The pasuk that we just mentioned is that Zara Achrav is only a asmachta. V'chigaz Rabbanan. When did the Rabbanan say that there's a lack of Zara Achrav? If the child that we spoke about was born with Nus, not in the terms of a marriage. Like we learned, 10 Kohanim had relations with a woman in a very immoral fashion. But here there was a marriage. Even though he doesn't know who his father is, but he knows for sure he's a Kohen, they are like Gozer Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, is this true? Ubiznus mi Gozer Rabbanan, is this indeed the case that Beznus Chazal made such a gzera? For Tanan the Mishnah says, Mishloish asa akabal shloish chadoshim. If somebody didn't wait for 3 months, Venusus Violda, and then she had a baby, and we're not sure who is the father. And the Mishnah said that both of these men are Kahanim. The Mishnah gave us all of the dinim. Says the Gemara, "May achabala." What does that mean? Ilayim achamisis bala. If we're going to say that the first husband died, so then we can't, then the Mishnah is difficult to understand. Aim is safer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Who einan aleihem? V'heim einan malav." When he dies, both of the men who are possibly his fathers have to act with aninus, and so too vice versa. Bishlema who einan aleihem. The case that he has to be einan for both of them. Mishkachas law. Benesun the sheni, when the second man who married the father died, married his mother died, who may be his father, and also liked at some mistakama. The halacha is that if for whatever reason they're taking the body of a person who was nifter and reburying him, the day that that happens, the relatives who are normally have to be oinonim have to be oinonim again. So now we could have a case where this son, who doesn't know who his father is, could have to maybe be an oinon for both of the men. An oinon for the second man is because when he actually dies, and an oinon for the first man when they do likud atzomus for him. But the Mishnah also said, heim oinon in a love. And the question is, heich mishkachas lo, how is that possible? Kama, we just said that the first husband died. If he died, he can't be an oinon for anyone anymore. Hamisla. Says the Gemara Elba Grusha. What happened was she divorced the first husband, Maya Chabala. And what does the Mishnah mean? That the first husband divorced her and she remarried the second husband, who was a Kayin, within 3 months. But ain't a Seifer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, who ain't a Matam Alehem? The ain't a Matam Aloy. Bishlam ain't a Matam Aloy. They may not become Tamei to him because we're being Machmer. The Kol Chad V'Chad. Maybe we don't know whose son he is. And a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei unless only to somebody who's clearly his relative. Elhu ain't a matam lahem, but he's not allowed to become Tamei to them. Amai. Bishlam elosheni le matam alei. To the second one, he can't become Tamei because maybe he's the son of the first Kohen. And a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei. But when the first one dies, he should be able to become tamei to this individual because of manushach. Ibrehu, if he's the son of the first husband, so shapa kametamalei. He's a son who's supposed to become tamei, even a kohen, when his father passes away. Vibabasruhu, and if he's the son of the second husband, shapa kametamalei. Then he has every right to become tamei to him because his mother was not allowed to marry that kohen. His mother was a grusha. And he who would be born from that marriage would be a cholol. A cholol doesn't have the kedusha of a kohen. Since a cholol doesn't have the kedusha of a kohen, he's allowed to become tamei. El alav, what happens? What happened to Zuz? The two kahanim never got married to her. First, the first kohen had relations, and now the second kohen had relations. And we don't know who is the father. And what does the mean? What it was meant when the Mishnah said Achabala, she didn't wait after the first man. It wasn't that she was his wife, Achabala, after she had relations with the first man. And what did the Mishnah say? Viktani Sefer, Oil of Mishnah Shal Zevisazet, this boy whose mother had immoral relations with the two men, can act as a kohen. But Shmuel said that if a mother has relations in an immoral fashion, even though she knows for sure that the child is a kohen, that child can't do the avoda because lazarecha achrecha. Amar Shmaya b'memenes. We're talking about here that she was married to the first kohen as a kisoima. The halach is that a father has a right to marry off his daughter, but a ktana, only a father has that right, not mother and brother. So if you have a girl who doesn't have a father, unfortunately, her mother and brothers married her off. So the halacha is that that marriage could end with miyun. She could just refuse and annul the marriage. And that's what happened here. And that woman is not considered a grusha. And now, after she did miyun with the first husband, she then went and married the second husband. And we don't know who the father is. Ask the Gemara, but how could she possibly have a child if that was the case? Memamenes mi koyoldo. V'tana Rabbi b'kameder Rav Nachman. Sholosh nashim mishamshes b'moich. Three women allowed to put a moich when they do tashmish. Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos doesn't mean, Rashi says even before the tashmish. Tosfos says after the tashmish. K'tana muberes meneka. K'tana, why is she allowed to do so? Shem t'sabe v'tomis, because we don't want her to get pregnant, which could cause her to die. Muberes shem t'asa uber sandal, that may harm the fetus. Meneka, we don't want her to lose her milk. Shem t'igmas b'no. V'yomis, because he wouldn't have anything to eat. V'ez k'tana. So we learned who is the ketana that this halacha applies to. For a girl from was 11 to 12. Pach mikan, if she's under 11, or yes, al kain, or if she's over 12, mishamesh kedaka v'helchas. There's nothing to worry about. Because when she's under 11, she can't get pregnant anyway. And when she's over 12, she'll be fine. Divrei meya. V'cham maimrim, achazeh v'achazeh. No matter what her age is, we let her have relations normally. All of these concerns. So we see from here that a ketana can't have children. If a ketana can't have children, how could it be that there was a miyun and then she had children? If there was a miyun, it couldn't have had children from the first husband. Because the definition of miyun is that miyun can only be performed until the girl is 12 years old. Once she's above 12, she can't do mean anymore. So we have to look for a different case. It says the Gemara, what happened was, Mishkach Sla B'Kedushay Tos, where she got married to the first husband with a Tanai. And then that Tanai was not fulfilled, and therefore there was never Kedushin. Since there was never Kedushin, she doesn't need a get. And within 3 months, she got married to another man, and that is a son, and we don't know who is the father? Says the Gemara. The pasuk says by a woman who was secluded with a man. If she wasn't violated and she did this willingly, she becomes us to her husband. If she did it, and he continues. There's another woman. Even though she had relations with another man and it was not against her will, she wasn't violated, still Materis, she would be allowed to go back to her husband. Ezuzah, who was that woman? She could share to us that she was never considered married. There was a Tanai in the marriage that wasn't fulfilled. That such a woman, even if she's has a child from that marriage, that is not, if the condition wasn't fulfilled, then she could still just walk away from that marriage. So here, nobody did anything wrong, but we don't know who is the father. And if they're both married, and if they're both kahanim, he will have the din of a kohen, as we've been discussing in our shir. There's a very interesting discussion in the Sefer Chishuki Chemed here. He says there was a man who was looking for a chassan for his daughter. And they told him, there's this and this boy, who's a wonderful boy. This is the name of this boy. He's a wonderful boy. Maybe he would be a good match for your daughter. So he went and asked somebody to find this boy. The shidduch was mentioned, and they became chasam v'kala. And then it turns out that the boy who actually ended up marrying the girl was not the boy that was intended. He had the same name. And the question is, later on, they're already married, they discover what happened, and the question is, that is this a kedushei tos? He says, of course it's not a kedushei tos. And even if the father-in-law can make an argument, I wanted the boy who was the big Talmid Chacham, and you weren't the big Talmid Chacham. Everybody could be the big Talmid Chacham. And since everybody could be the big Talmid Chacham, saying, well, you weren't that person, since everybody potentially could be that Talmid Chacham, he is considered, it's not considered a kedushei tos.